He didn't acknowledge me. Like, okay.
They do that. They're not saying anything right now.
I just want to make some difference.
Here, have your brother get out.
Yeah, because he doesn't even drink out.
Kyle. Sorry.
Guys, maybe there's sound over there. I'm so on.
Are they going to be freaking out?
Does it have a knob?
Here, hold on to it a second.
Good evening, everyone. Just checking to make sure you're still with us. Sorry.
Yeah, we're here.
We're getting used to this technology. Everybody's doing a great job. I know Chase is back here and his finger's trembling. So everybody send a big hurrah to Chase, would you please?
And we got to work on our participation tonight. All right. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Chad Wade. This is Justin Yates. We were in another company about 10 years ago. Justin actually answered an ad off of a little flyer on his car that said, I work from home and love it, you can too. I have a specific plan to help you earn X amount of dollars and blah, blah, blah. And next thing I know, I'm sitting down with Justin, and we've become great friends. And we want to kind of take you on a journey as we kind of set the stage for what you're here to participate in tonight, because how many of you are kind of confused what's going on this evening? Okay? Thanks for your honesty. We're confused too. No. What's really going on here is that Justin and I, over the past years, have made over $1 million a year, many years in a row, in home-based business. And when we looked back on exactly what made us successful, it's exactly what we're going to talk about this evening. And so what I want to do is kind of take you back a little bit. You know, 10 years ago, I'd invested in a stock where it cost me about $2.50 per share to buy this particular stock. I meet Dave Blanchard because a good friend of mine worked out at the same gym he did, and he had told him about what the Augmentino group was doing and what was happening, and they were looking for licensees. They were looking for facilitators to go out and take the Augmentino message to the world. Well, what myself and this other gentleman were doing, we weren't sure if we were going to make it. We weren't sure if we were going to go out there and be able to make money doing what we had put in our brains to do. And we actually got involved with Dave and his organization as kind of an insurance policy for, hey, if what we do doesn't work, we're going to go out and take this information and go make stuff happen. And what happened was is we ended up launching what we were doing, and it was massively successful. And the reason why it was is from day one, we brought Dave Blanchard into this organization. We helped every person that we got involved with us understand the philosophies of Augmentino. Dave has brought new technology to the table to take that message and combine it with new world things to really take that message and take it farther. And I think Aug would be extremely proud of where Dave and the Aug group has taken this entire message. And when I look back on pressing shirts at the back of a dry cleaner's for a living, making $35,000 a year, to making, you know, over, my best year was $1.7 million in profit, as I look back on that, I can really trace back that wealth for myself, for Justin, for all the other people, as pointed back right here. And what happened was is I actually resigned from that company back in October, and I kind of been piddling around with different things, trying to try different things, because it was just time for me to move on. And Justin and I ended up at lunch, and we were comparing the good, the bad, and the ugly, what worked, what didn't work, and we basically came to the conclusion that it was the Augmentino principles, it was Dave Blanchard, it was everything that we did here of what we're going to discuss tonight and what you're going to see the Aug group launch that really made us successful. And what I noticed is it wasn't just money that happened for people. What happened was is people's marriages improved, their relationships improved, their business improved. And so I want Justin to kind of take a few minutes and kind of set up for himself what these principles have done for him. And I'll share with you myself. I rose to great heights, and I can attribute it to living principles of success, living what those principles are. Many of us understand the principles of what I'm talking about, and we're going to share a lot of those with you this evening. And the demise of my success and other people's success came in forgetting those principles, thinking that we were too good or we were too wealthy or, you know, we got this thing figured out. and we quit living the principles of success, and I'm not just talking about money success, I'm talking about life success. And ultimately, I had to basically pay the ultimate price. I lost my wife, I lost my kids, I lost my business, I lost my wealth, and everything else. And when I came back to these principles, I feel like the prodigal son at this point, because I know what's important, I know where I'm going, and I know where these principles are going to take not only us in this room, because you guys should look around. There's only a handful of people in this room compared to what it's going to be. You know, we're going to have thousands of people and then hundreds of thousands and then millions of people that are going to be benefited from these principles. And so you should congratulate yourself tonight for being here, because 10 years ago I was in a room just like this when something was launching, when things were being put together, and it financially benefited me, it emotionally benefited me, and we had a lot of friendships, a lot of phenomenal things that happened. But I wanted Justin to kind of share with you kind of his perspective and what's happened, because both of us have had been on that same ride. We've had huge ups, we've had huge downs, and we want to take our experience and help other people, not only right here in this valley, but across the world, change their lives through the Augmentino principles.
Cool. Thank you, Chad. I don't know if you guys really understood what Chad is actually saying to you. I want you to all step into Chad's world for just a moment. So I want you to imagine to yourself that you had made $1.7 million in 1 year. And that puts Chad in the 1/20th of 1% of income earners in the entire world. My best year was $1.25 million. I want you to think about that for just a moment, what it would feel like to have that kind of money coming in, that kind of wealth. And when you use principles to drive up to that point, and then you get to that point where you start losing your foundation, thinking that you're tricking yourself that it was really you, that you're the one that created that. You're the one that created this success. I want you to think to yourself, you got to a point where you started challenging God that it wasn't really him, it was all you, and you don't need him anymore. Can you imagine that space? That's where I was. Well, God doesn't like to be mocked. And he likes to challenge you and push you down, and because he loves you, down to the levels where you become acceptable to things again, that you were acceptable before, but you lost your way again. You guys get that? Is it really hitting home to you what that might feel like? And then you might be thinking to yourself, well, why would Chad and Justin get there and say, we've made all this money and both of us have been basically humbled down to our knees. I didn't lose my family or my kids, but man, I sure lost a lot of stuff. A lifestyle, cash flow. You think about it, that's over $100,000 a month in income. And it drops down to 5, 10. Do you think when you make that kind of money that your lifestyle kind of follows suit? There was a point when I was living in Southern California that my monthly nut, just to break even, just to even survive, was $25,000 a month. It's crazy. Life gets crazy. But we're telling these stories because we're not in this to brag. We're just telling these stories because when Chad and I sat down and said, okay, man, that was a crazy 8 years. We had great successes. We raced Lamborghinis and Ferraris on the Autobahn. We went to Bora Bora on yachts. I mean, you think about the lifestyle of the rich and famous. We were there. And we sat down with Dave and said, Dave, man, we're the happiest. We're the most productive. We're the most profitable when we were listening to the Augmentino principles and listening to you and letting you coach us and to mentor us and our teams and us. And that's when we were working. When we lost that, it started to go away really fast. So you might be thinking to yourself, what does this story have to do with me? Well, I don't think that Chad and I are alone. I think there's many of you in this room that maybe you weren't at the level that Chad and I were at as far as income goes, but you've had the same ride down that we've had with respect to your standards of living, where it's harder to make a dollar today than it was 3-4 years ago. You're having to work harder. You're having to budget. You're having to use coupons. You're having to, you know, do things that you never thought you were doing. And then my wife came home today and she goes, Justin, I went to TJ Maxx and I got, you know, all these shirts and all these pants and I only spent $117. And she goes, I can't believe how much money you can save when you actually pay attention to prices. And it's so fun for me to watch because now we're grounded. We're back in the arena. But here's the cool part. Chad and I are going to do it again. We're going to make that kind of money again, but guess what? This time it's not about money. This time it's about making an impact on people's lives. changing them. And Chad's not kidding when we talk about how this is a small room. We're just getting started. Because we see the vision of what where Augmentino is going, where things are happening. Those of you on the call, man, hundreds on the call listening. That we're starting a movement. We're starting a movement of personal development again. I many of you are familiar with Tony Robbins. Y'all are, right? He's been dormant for 10 years. He's absolutely making a comeback right now because of the fact that our nation, our country, every single one of us have lost our way. And we need to get back to principles. We need to get back to motivation. We need to get back to things that will get us all back on track mentally. But here's the cool part. This is a little about Augmentino and what we're doing here, the intentional creation. We can actually measure which thought processes that you're going through, which ones are tripping you up, and which ones are helping your success. And then use the principles of the Augmentino principles of the scrolls to help you get balance in those areas so that your relationships improve, your business can improve, everything in your life can improve. And so when Chad and I and Dave sat down and said, hey, what can we create? What can we accomplish together? We couldn't put any limits on it. We're going to change millions and millions of people's lives. And you guys did be here at the beginning. Give yourselves a round of applause. So without further ado, I want to turn the mic over. Oh, you want to turn one more thing? Okay, go ahead, Chad.
You know, when I started, I talked about how I had invested in this stock. And I bought it at $2.50 a share. I sold it at 12 cents a share so that I could walk into Dave's office and lay out $2,500 to go to that training to improve my life. Justin and I had a great opportunity to sit down with a phenomenal leader of another organization today, and we laid out the principles of Augmentino and what's going on. And he was eating it up. And he's like, my goal is to spend $100,000 a year in personal development. And so as you're sitting here today listening to Dave, we're not here to hard sell you. We're not here to manipulate you into a sell. We're not here to make you wrong if this doesn't fit for you. We're here telling you that we started right here, $35,000 a year, rose to over $1 million a year, lost everything because we forgot who we were and what we had brought to the table. And I can tell you one of the most important points is when someone loved me enough to call me on the carpet. And we're here tonight to call you on the carpet and say, take on your life. And that doesn't mean selling stock and investing in what Augmentino has to offer. I just share that because that was the last bit of money I had at $35,000 a year working at the dry cleaners to make money, trying little businesses on the side, and I was scared to death to walk into his office and lay that money out because that's all I had left. That's it. And because of those principles, because of learning what it takes to step into someone else's world, we created massive success. And like Justin said, it's not an egotistical thing, but we are going to do it again because when you apply principles, things happen. Okay? Money's just money. But money becomes a byproduct of your service. And what I truly believe we are doing here with the Augmentino Group is that we are going to change people's thought patterns, hold you accountable, and when I mean accountability, like I said, to love you enough to tell you the truth, to see where you're really at. See, as human beings, if I sit down with Justin and we're friends, we have a tendency to want to brag to each other. If he caught a 10-inch fish, I caught a 12-inch fish. And we're always trying to one-up everybody. We're going to love you enough to challenge you to take on the truth. Because I had someone that I have an immense amount of love for who sat me down at a restaurant and said, you're off base. You are not where I want you to be, and you need to be different. And I started to change, and it took a while to do that. You're not going to just have these principles and your life's going to change tomorrow. It's going to be a lifelong process. But as you look back on tonight, tonight could be the first day that you started to take on your life, get real with yourself, and we're not just talking about money, we're talking about relationships. Your relationship with friends, with family, with everyone else will change because of this. And so I'll let Justin kind of finish here and bring Dave up. But I just wanted to point that out because many times people think that, oh, I'm not Justin, or I'm not this person, that person. We are, no one's different in this room. We were all brought here with the same envelope. And all of us can accomplish whatever we want as long as we're concentrating, getting our head congruent with our heart, and then moving forward with that.
Okay, so here's the exercise. Everybody, everybody in the phone call and the live room, I want you to take a big, deep breath. Let it out as far as you can. As far as you can. Get comfortable in your skin. Tonight we're going to explore some areas of your life that may not be super comfortable. They may slap you in the face. But I want you to look to your left, look to your right. Those of you at home, look in the mirror. Tonight we're going to get real. Because sometimes it does suck, but it's okay. And we're going to show you how to get through it tonight. Let's welcome to the stage Mr. Dave Blanchard.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Chad. Want to make sure this is on. Is it on? And welcome everybody who's on the phone. We have a huge audience. We've invited our 12,000 Ogbandino friends to join us tonight, and there are quite a few of them on the phone with us. So welcome. We're so excited to have you there, and we're so excited to have all of you here in person. This was Chad's and Justin's idea about a month ago. They said, why don't we do the Tuesday night coaching call live? This is a coaching call. The people that are on the phone join us every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock for a coaching call. And we've invited all of you now to join us for a night, so you have an idea what we do every Tuesday night. And I wanted to mention something based on what they just said. We're not introducing a network marketing company or direct selling company tonight. Ogbandino has an affiliate program. You'll know more about that before the evening's out. It's an opportunity for people who love Ogbandino to share it with a friend and to generate a very handsome income. And the leader they were talking about is a leader in a very successful network marketing company who can take this into his company to bless the lives of his leaders and not be in competition. I want to emphasize that. So don't get concerned if you were that we're going to go that direction, because we're not. We thought about it. We even talked about it. It's important that people have these principles as soon as possible in their lives. I don't know about you, but I've got my fingers on the pulse of thousands of lives as the CEO of the Ogbandino Group. We're talking to thousands of people, getting emails, communication, coaching, training. The message is almost always the same, and it's not exciting in terms of the economic realities. That's not pessimism. That's reality. So tonight's conversation is that there are going to be some things in life, and I still grind when I say this because I used to talk to my kids when they wanted to say this. You know, that sucks. But I can still be okay. And if I'm not okay, I'm going to get sucked into that problem, and I'm going to get swamped by it. And my likelihood of being able to create a solution is going to be minimal. And most likely I'm going to compound the problem, make it worse than it needed to be. Yet if I can be okay, I can be in creation to deal with it more effectively. And the truth of the matter is it's not positive mental attitude that makes that problem go away. It's a real problem, and it sucks. So that's where we're going to go tonight. Before we do, I got a chill down my spine about 20 minutes ago because three of my favorite people in the world walked into this room. The fourth would be here, but she's ill tonight. She's the one that set this up. We have seven children. First of all, their mother in the back. Would you stand, sweetheart? For those of you on the phone and haven't met Ramona, tall, gorgeous, gracious, kind, gentle, just an amazing soul. And when you see her daughters, you see three more of them. There's four. Christina's ill tonight. Toby, would you please stand? Toby? Cindy? And Catherine. Cindy has in the oven number 19. And we have number 20 and 21 now on the way. So our family is growing. When we get together for Sunday dinner, it's 35 people. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, Ramona used to do all of that cooking, and now she says, we'll provide the basic, like a meat. Everybody else brings stuff, and we eat a little bit more casually now. But what a delight to have this treasure. I was talking about this with someone on our staff today, sweethearts. I said, you know, economics can come and go. I know what it means to lose everything, millions, rebuild it. I know what it means to have a tough month and have cash flow challenges and months that are really good. That doesn't judge our wealth. Our wealth is in our relationships. Ramona and I will be married 36 years coming this next February. That is wealth. Because we're madly in love. I could giggle. And we've got 7 amazing children with amazing spouses and 18 grandchildren. That's wealth. It's priceless. The rest comes and goes, doesn't it, ladies? The rest of it comes and goes. So what? That's wealth. Let's make sure we stay grounded. I got some emails in the last couple of weeks that just moved me, starting with one this morning. This is the email. I'll quote it the best I can. This is how my day started. This gentleman may be on the phone. I'm going to be very careful as far as anonymity goes. But he says, my day started at 7 o'clock. I went down to the bank to deposit my money into my ATM so that I could become an affiliate with Augmandino. The guy in front of me got his debit card stuck in the machine, and he was waiting for customer service to come, and it would be an hour. So I went to the car wash and washed my car. Then I decided to vacuum my car. I realized just as I lift the vacuum hose to the dashboard that the hearing aids that I'm trying were sitting on the dashboard. Sucked right in. So I go find the manager to turn off the vacuum, open it up, and I dig through the cat and dog hair, and I found them. And last week, his wife was diagnosed with cancer. He said, that sucks, but I'm okay. I almost cried. You read an email like that, and you see all the implications, and I'm thinking, what am I complaining about? Another client sent me one. I've been doing it. I've been saying it. That sucks, but I'm okay. Then Friday, my boss didn't make the payroll. I've changed my mantra. That really sucks, but I'm okay. Ponder for a moment. What is going on in your life in terms of relationships and job and income and bills and health that just isn't very exciting? And how often do you get sucked into it? And all the drama that comes with it. Anybody here do any drama? I was a drama major in this. I mean, yeah, Toby, thank you. Yes. We get all caught up in the crisis, and it clouds our mind, and we'll talk about some of those specific thoughts and what they do to us tonight, and then we're paralyzed. And it's not just in our mind anymore. We have engaged very physiological realities in our body. Our mission at the Augmandino Group has become very simple in the last few months. It is to equip everybody with the principles and tools and practices and techniques necessary to be okay in spite of the firestorm. We even changed the name to the book. I finished the book, Intentional Creation. It said my agents. It's not going to be intentional creation, turning your dreams into tangible reality. Nice thought. But the title of the book is, that sucks, but I'm okay. Intentionally creating peace of mind in a firestorm. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Our goal is to equip you with things you can actually take, principles you can take home, and our coaching clients that are on the phone to help advance their life. We have what is called the six qualities of an intentional creator. When we master those six, our life runs much more smoothly. It doesn't mean we don't have any of those things, because that's just life. But the way we show up in those things is totally different, and it makes all the difference. You'll get introduced to several of those qualities. The sixth and final is called self-esteem. And that's the one we're going to take on tonight, because that's the order we're in our coaching program with those that are on the phone. So if you're okay, pull out your paper, pull out your pen, and let us go to work. And I have to acknowledge Kevin Hall. Would you please stand? Give Kevin a hand. Kevin Hall is my coach. Kevin wrote the book Aspire, which is just about ready to crack the New York Times bestseller. Many of you have read that book, Aspire. It's a fabulous book. If you don't have it, when you go home tonight, you get on Amazon.com and order it. It will be a treat. It's one of those books that you'll just set in your reading schedule once a year, just to reread and reread. Such a privilege to have you here, Kevin. We can hear the music in the other room. No. So thank you to all of you on the phone. We talk about Kevin all the time and his material. It's great to have you with us. We have a couple of people who participate. It's Jason Coombs. Jason's with us tonight. Jason is one of the spokespeople in Og Mandino's New Life Support, which is the program to support people in deepening their journey of alcohol recovery. And he'll be talking to us about a very specific part of that sucks, but I'm okay. So we're ready to go to work. This is a working meeting. So let's go to work. First of all, what do you think causes challenges in self-esteem? What causes us to have a low self-esteem? And self-esteem can come in many places. It could be, I question my own worth as a human being. That's one. Self-esteem challenges can come in areas of, I question my ability. Women, 85%, I question my appearance. I question my belief system. I question my ability to think through something and solve it. I question my ability to set proper boundaries because I just can't say no. My plate's so full. I'm always busy. I never have time to sharpen the saw. I'm always exhausted. And at a very, very deep level, I feel shame for something I've done in my life. Shame meaning the difference between guilt. I feel bad about what I've done. Shame, I feel bad about me. I'm not worthy or worth it. Those are areas we measure. I just gave you the six. We know how you think in those six areas when you finish your assessment. We know where the challenges are showing up, but what causes those things to show up? That's what we want to talk about tonight. The first, there are three, but the first, the major one, the most significant one, the one that is most pervasive, is an unmet expectation. An unmet expectation. What does that simply mean? It means I envisioned it happening that way, and it actually showed up that way. And to complicate things, when you take your assessment, write down this, it's called goal-oriented. If you want to go home tonight, if you haven't taken your intentional creation assessment, go home and take it. Look at the measurement, goal-oriented. It's halfway down on the right-hand side of the assessment. See if it's orange or red. Spending a lot of time thinking. Anybody here ever need to be right? Anybody here ever get attached to their ideas? Anybody here vividly visualize what it's going to be like when you're rich and what it'll be like then? Anybody ever been there? Yeah, we got nods going all over the room. How about on the phone? You can nod. We can feel you. Just nod. Yep. Yep, that's me. Okay? So here's the challenge. Because of the thought process, and this is something we uniquely understand because we're the first ones to really measure it and understand what was happening. I've interviewed 3,000 people myself on this topic. And what we discovered, because the thought process is so vivid and so obsessive, the same brain chemistry and brain circuitry is firing that would fire if you were actually there. Does that sound bizarre? In other words, the mind thinks it's very real. Now we have a problem. Because the scientists call it a mental construct. That's a big word for an expectation. And Kevin and I, I remember in a coaching session, we tried to figure out the etymological definition of expectation, and we came up with concrete condition for happiness. Now, why would we say concrete? I mean, it's fixed. There's no negotiation. Concrete condition for happiness. What happens if life shows up any different than our concrete condition for happiness? We also know that these particular thought processes are called dualistic in nature. It means they're all or they're nothing. They're right or they're wrong. And I'm not looking at you, Gwen, for any specific reason. Thanks for sharing last week on this topic. Life or death. And these thoughts cannot distinguish the seriousness. It could be the topping on a pizza, for heaven's sake. I want pepperoni. No, it should be sausage. No pepperoni. No sausage. One clearly sees the mental construct of pepperoni. Concrete condition for happiness. Pepperoni. The other person, concrete condition for happiness. Sausage. It's not funny, but marriages can be blown up over the topping on a pizza because someone gets really fixed on their opinion of what ought to be on that pizza. That's dualistic thinking. That's how these particular thought processes function. So now let's put the formula together. Obsessive thinking, vivid visualization, same chemistry occurring as if you were actually there. Right? Creating a concrete condition for happiness that is all or nothing, right or wrong, life or death. Now, I'm going to add one last ingredient. If you're thinking about something that's really exciting, do we have any single people here who would like to have a really wonderful romantic relationship? We just had a married woman raise her hand and her husband went, what? We'll talk after. We have a marriage retreat. No, I'm just kidding. I wonderful couple. I know them. I think she misunderstood, so we'll say it again. Any single people who are looking for that ideal relationship, and Chase is back there pointing at himself, lady, he's the most eligible bachelor in the room, so if we have any single ladies, seek him out at the end. He would be happy to take you on a date. And frankly, I'd be happy to pay for it. Okay. Now let's add this last ingredient. When we're doing something that really feels good in our thought processes, such as, when I'm rich, what it's going to be like then? Oh, that new carpet. Oh, that new car. Oh, that new house. Oh, my debt's paid off and no more stress. Can you feel it? The body starts releasing a chemical, and it's a very powerful chemical. It's a drug. If it were a prescribed substance, it would be controlled, like morphine. It's called norepinephrine. It's a drug. It makes us feel euphoric. It just feels so good. So here's our mind having the same brain chemistry firing, creating a concrete condition for happiness, life, death, right, wrong, and we're feeling really good about it. Woo, we're just, oh, I can't wait. You wake up the next morning, and you open up the garage, and there's that 20-year-old Ford Taurus with Dole for President bumper sticker, growing rust spots, and a flat tire. And I'll tell you exactly what happens. Now, we're humorous about this, but many in this room and on this phone have lived through this episode regularly, and it has created all kinds of health challenges. It is brutal. What happens is it's so vivid to the mind, it's so real, that your body goes into a process to protect it. Goes into a defense mechanism to protect your expectation. That's how real it is to your mind. Your body's now going to defend it. It doesn't even exist. It's just in your mind. But it's so real to the mind. Sorry, those on your phone. I just yelled a little loud. So real, the body's going to go into a defensive mechanism. And it starts releasing through the sympathetic nervous system cortisol. You don't need to know all the chemistry. You felt it. Everybody go like this with me. Feel it right there. Got it? Ever had one of those? Ooh, they just... There's a lot of receptors for cortisol in your gut. Kind of why it feels there. Sometimes in your shoulders, your back. The reason why your body's releasing cortisol is if you were being attacked by a bear, there's a good chance you'd be wounded. And cortisol is there to help heal the wounds. So it's very natural to be released. Except for there's no bear. Just reality. That old car. Now to compound things, and many of you on the phone have heard me talk about this many times. I still remember being in Sacramento when a gentleman in the back who had personally coached with me, been in a No One Left Behind training, had been on phone calls, all of a sudden stood up in the back of the room, I got it! I finally got it! Oh my goodness! When you finally get it, you stop doing what I'm explaining. So if you're still experiencing it intellectually, understand it, but you haven't yet disciplined yourself to stop it. I'll give you some clues tonight of how to do that. But all of a sudden, the next thing that happens, right at the top of your brain stem is a little almond thing called an amygdala. Everybody say that with me. Amygdala. You did really good. Amygdala. It's a fight or flight center. Everybody's heard of that. The fight or flight center. The way it works is when a danger comes like this, it sends out little things called fear dendrites. And the purpose for those fear dendrites are to go up into your brain and start turning off all the light switches and unplugging all the electricity. It's trying to centralize all the power that you have in that one place to flee or to fight. That's how people pick up cars off of babies. It's how people leap 10 feet up into a tree when they're chased by a bear. All of that energy is focused in one place. Wham! Tremendous energy, except for gut cortisol, ready for a war. I mean, you're ready to take on an army, but there isn't one. It's just reality. So what we end up getting is often, I don't want to use a clinical word in this context, but the word's depressed, discouraged, frustrated. We have some people in here that are highly successful in the network marketing industry. And we've talked about this at great length because this is the disease that suffered amongst those who are seeking financial abundance. We visualize and fantasize, we escape to a time when we're going to be rich, we escape, and then life keeps showing up differently. High emotional highs, low emotional lows. High emotional highs, low emotional lows. And pretty soon you've got adrenal failure or adrenal exhaustion. or exacerbation of diabetes or hypertension. In any event, you're just absolutely worn out. And you quit your business. And then we often blame the business, and it wasn't the business's fault. It was just a series of thought processes that drove you right into the ground. That is the single greatest challenge in self-esteem, because the pattern we measure over and over again is high expectation, life showing up differently. It's really hard to be grateful, isn't it, when it keeps showing up different than you want it? And we're going, man, we're always living in frustration instead of creation. And we got to blame somebody. So who do we blame? Scott's pointing at his wife. I know you blame yourself. We blame ourselves. Absolutely blame ourselves. We question our ability. We question our appearance. We question our education. We question our work ethic, our belief systems. And the worst of all, we sometimes question our own intrinsic value. Maybe God does not even love me. It seems to be working for everybody else. What's wrong with me? That is the single greatest challenge in self-esteem. That's the single greatest. Have they got that? That's a killer. That's a killer. And there isn't any of us that's been exempt. Because the more we run into those things that suck, the more there is a chance that it's going to be something different than we expected. The more likely we're going to be frustrated with life, the more likely we're going to be blaming ourselves and questioning us. Now, that's not about avoiding accountability. That's important. But this is way beyond accountability. This is self-deprecation. This is self-destruction. We hear about teenagers that cut themselves. Heard about those kinds of things? Mm-hmm. Some of you may have a teenager struggle with those kinds of things. This is a kind of a cutting. We're doing it to ourselves. We're adults. We should know better, but we do it. It just destroys us, paralyzes us. Those chemical effects I've shared with you are just debilitating. And the only solution has been to go back to a meeting and get all pumped up and jazzed about something. And by the time you get home, you've gone from $5,000 a month to $10,000 a month to $20,000 a month. And then you realize 20 doesn't buy that much, so it needs to be 50. Well, 50 is not going to get me the Learjet 100, but I'll rent on the Learjet. And pretty soon you're at $1 million a month of income, and nothing's changed but 20 miles of driving. That's really it. But we do that. We get all pumped back up again. The norepinephrine gets coursing through our bodies. And then we deal with the fallout the next day. Within 24 to 48 hours, if you're ever feeling overwhelmed, if you could be really honest with yourself and go back and look at where you've been thinking the last 24 hours, you'll find that you spent some time escaping to a time when your stress was not there. This is true. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment. But that's the first one. Have we got that one? Any questions about that one? Now, we know we have the phone on mute. Can we come off of mute just for a moment? We'll just check and see if there's anybody on the phone. Can you hear us okay on the phone?
Yes.
Very good. Does anybody have a question about this particular challenge with self-esteem?
How to fix it.
How to fix it. Okay. Yeah. We'll be to fixing in just a few moments. Thank you. That's a great answer. Great question. How do we fix it?
Yeah.
I want to discuss the other two. The other one, let's go ahead and put it back on mute. Thank you. The second one is really tender. This is a tender one. And I'm going to be very disclosing with you to create the safest place I can for you. I'm going to explain it to you by way of sharing a dream that I had when I was speaking in Chicago. Before I went to sleep, I was reflecting on the 700 people that would be there. And I knew that some of those people had this challenge. And I was considering what I could say. And when I went to sleep, I had a dream. Let me share it with you. Some of you know it. But reflect on this in terms of your own lives and see if it could serve you tonight, because this one is a deadly one. This one sometimes requires therapeutic intervention. It's when the fragile underpinnings of trust get disrupted in relationships, quite often when we're children and very vulnerable. In my dream, I'm walking along a path, and I'm dragging a big sack. It's dragging on the ground. It's so big. Big muslin sack. And I'm walking, and it's just so heavy to carry. And a gentleman is approaching me, and I want to connect with him. I know the 7 principles of intrinsic validation. Chad talked a little bit about that, stepping into someone's world, how to do that. I understood that. So I'm reflecting on, okay, I look for the good, I step into his world, I listen for doors, I'm going down the technical aspect. And this voice says to me, let go of the sack. You think I was happy to do that? Oh my goodness, yes. Oh. But instantly I was instructed to turn and face the sack, which I did. And I looked. I knew that in that sack was every failure, every challenge, every inability, every abusive moment I experienced in my life was in that sack. Anybody dragging one around? If you are, what's in yours? It's in yours. Because the next thing I was instructed to do was to empty the sack. I didn't want to do that. Remember, I was dragging it. I didn't want to look at it. I was going to drag it, but I wasn't going to look at it. And when I emptied it, it was a pile of silver orbs with spikes on them. And then I was asked to pick up the most painful of all of those experiences. I knew which one it was. I had avoided it for 48 years. I just wouldn't go there. I picked it up, and I held it. I'm between the ages of 2 and 4. I'm living in Chicago. My father's going to school during the day and working at night. My mother's working. It was so traumatic for her to live in Chicago after growing up in Malga, Utah. She had a nervous breakdown. Bless her heart. It was tough. Such a different environment. And there was this wonderful couple who befriended our family, who were willing to take my sister and I into their care and keeping. Oh, they were happy to take us places and buy us presents. And Christmas, Santa Claus came. And we actually had Santa Claus come to an apartment. Can you imagine that in Chicago? It was like a dream come true to my parents to have somebody like that who loved their children. Problem was, they were pedophiles. You see why I didn't want to even think about this. These are memories you don't want to revisit. Well, I wasn't instructed to revisit the memories. I was instructed to revisit the feelings. And then I was instructed to take that and place it against my chest and engrave it in my heart. Now, I thought that was going to hurt with those spikes. But it didn't hurt. It actually made my heart swell. I remember after writing about this, calling Kevin in a coaching session, and I was telling him the story. I'd just written it. And he said, stop right there. He said, do you know what it means to engrave something on your... I'm so fun to have him here right now. To engrave this on your heart. And I said, I know what it felt like, but I don't know what it means. And he said, it's the purest definition of character. Made up part of my character. With that in my heart, I was instructed to pick up the next. And that was a pretty big pile. Anybody have more than one or two things in their sack? Mm-hmm. But with every one of them, my heart would swell. I felt more joyful. I've learned a lesson since then. I did not know it then. But it's when we make a switch in life from dragging all of this to asking ourselves the question, I wonder if anybody else has had that experience. instead of me being burdened by it, I wonder if. Because when I finished engraving all those things on my heart, I was instructed to turn back around. And when I did, I was emotionally moved, because the first time I noticed, the man I was talking to was also dragging a sack. I could not see his sack till I owned my own challenges. Have you been anywhere painful, done anything horrible, hurt people, been hurt? How long have you been dragging shame and guilt and frustration and anger? Question a moment ago is how you fix this one. I'll tell you right now. You fix this one when you finally make the decision to stop being the victim dragging the sack and become the victor and ask, I wonder if anybody else. In the material, there's a quote, and Kevin graciously put it in his book. Our character has been forged in the furnace of adversity. We know what pain feels like. Is that true? We know what it feels like? We cannot take back the past. But we can use these experiences as a rich resource to more effectively connect and serve others. And when we do so, there is finally purpose in our suffering, joy in our journey, and much healing in our soul. Can you take it back? You can't take it back. You can't change the past. But you can choose to use it to serve another human being. And when you make that switch from dragging to wow, I know what that feels like. Have you ever been here? You ever experienced this or that? Oh, yeah. It's like they're going, finally, somebody understands where I am. You get to be that person who could do that. You've been uniquely prepared in so many ways. The quality of your suffering for many of you has been really enormous, powerful. I keep asking myself, if I were you, what have I been prepared for? My goodness! How many Gethsemanes of my own have I experienced? And some will know that reference. You know that peace. You can serve another person in ways that others probably could never. Because you know what it feels like. You know the questions asked. So that they know that you know where they are. And you're just showing up for them. You're a safe place. Down come the walls. Connection. Connection that every human being hungers for and seldom experiences. You get to be the conduit because of what you've suffered. That's why there's purpose, finally, in the suffering. And the joy that comes from the service and the healing that comes in your own soul. But that's the second cause. There's a third one. And I've asked a special guest to come. Someone I've just fallen in love with. Kevin has a tendency to call up just at the right times. He says, Dave, how you doing? I'm doing okay. Well, I just felt impressed to call you today. He called me one Tuesday, and I'd had a really rough Monday night. Yep, we get them. Everybody gets them. Nobody's exempt. It was awful. Probably the most awful I'd had in months and months. And Kevin calls the next morning, felt impressed to call you. We start talking. That's the kind of guy he is. He's just always tuned in, you know. Little antenna, who can I serve? Who can I serve? Oh, okay, make the phone call. No relationship to income or benefits, just service. And he said, I said, how are you doing? I was talking to him about the alcohol program we're putting together, and he says, I had the most amazing experience a couple weeks ago. I got an email that came in the middle of the night. I got up at 5:30, and there it was. from a young man that had read my book the night before and couldn't sleep, so he wrote me an email. So I sent an email back to him and said, here's my phone number, call me. And the young man called him. And then the young man invited him to come to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous at a wonderful place down in southern part of Salt Lake area called Renaissance Ranch. He said, I've been going a couple of times, and it's the most amazing group of human beings. Just a really spiritual experience. Would you be willing to come and bring your brother? My brother just had his one-year anniversary, July 5th. It's so fun to have your brother back. So we did. My brother and I walk in and we sit down, and all of a sudden this guy stands up at the other side of the room and comes towards Dale. Dale stands up and they give each other a big hug. And my brother turns to me and says, this is the guy I've always wanted you to meet. And he turns to me and says, hi, Dave. He and his parents had listened to a speech that Kevin and I had given the previous Friday. Then Kevin walks in, gives him a hug and says, oh, Dave, this is the guy I wanted you to meet. This is the guy who sent me the email. We knew right away there was some reason for us all being brought together. And since then, this young man has become a spokesperson in the alcohol program, a host in what's called My Brother's Keeper. Jason and my brother, Dale, are the hosts. Pretty special. And I asked Jason if he'd be gracious enough to come and spend a few minutes with us tonight and talk about the third cause of self-esteem. It's when there is a difference between our outward appearance and our secret life. And we don't know which one we are. And there's all kinds of confusion. And it quite often involves some kind of an addiction. So I'd like you to stand and put your hands together, and those of you on the phone, for a dear and precious man and a dear friend, Jason Coombs. Jason, come on up, buddy.
Sorry about that. Thank you for that warm welcome. My name is Jason Coombs, and what a beautiful opening for me. And it's a privilege to be here with you, and there's some friends I have on the call as well that I've met, and just have to give you a shout out on the call. I do know something about the unexpected happening in my life. I'm just going to briefly and quickly give you a rundown of how my life has brought me to here and now. It started. Well, I'm just going to fast forward up to the point where I had arrived in my life. I had married the perfect woman. We had a home. It was beautiful. We had pets. You know, we were looking at beginning our family. I had graduated college and got a job at the number one television station in the market, and was doing very well there, and started to get accolades and recognition for my performance, and I just fed off of that. And I had truly believed that I had arrived in my life and that nothing could touch me. I truly felt unstoppable. And then the unexpected happened. I was in a car accident and was hospitalized, and that began a journey that I never thought that I would ever go down. I saw a doctor and became quickly addicted to pain medication. And those of you in this room and on the call that are familiar with addiction, if you're not familiar with it, chances are at some point in your life you will become familiar with it, either through a loved one or through, you know, a friend, family member, and may even be yourself. And I was one of those people that was completely blindsided by what happened to my life. And my addiction changed my behaviors, and it became all about me. My behaviors led me down paths that I never thought that I would ever wind up in. In my personal life, my behaviors led to living a dual life, concealing one part of my life and showing up for another and playing both roles. And I thought I was doing a really, really good job at it, but that all caught up to me. I ended up in divorce, and I ended up out on the streets. And I say that, and, you know, it was, a lot of it was by choice, being out on the streets, because I didn't have to be accountable to anybody. And I didn't have to have a cell phone, and it was just me, and I was penniless. And I was just hustling the streets of downtown Salt Lake. And my other behavior became criminal. And that caught up to me, and I wound up in jails and in institutions for the last 8 years of my life. And I never thought that I would get to that place. I never believed that a guy like me, having what I had growing up, because I had a beautiful life growing up. I have wonderful parents who are sitting in the audience who raised me right and taught me correct principles. But the unexpected happened. And in the midst of all of this that was going on, in and out of jails, in and out of rehabs, in and out of institutions, getting divorce papers while I was in my jail cell, you know, talk about pain. In the midst of all of that, I got the news that I was going to be a father. And I remember being in the hospital when he was born and holding my newborn son. And for the first time in my life, I felt unconditional love. And then I had to turn and give my son away in adoption. And that wrenched my heart. And I was not going to feel that. I was not going to allow myself to feel that. And I continued to self-medicate. And all these unexpected events in my life, you know, I wallowed in the tunnel. You know, people say there's the light at the end of the tunnel. Just work through your afflictions and work through your trials. I sat down in the middle of the tunnel, hopeless, depressed, just, I'd given up, and I was just waiting for that day that I would get up the courage to end my life. Well, my message today is of hope. There were people on the other end of the tunnel, and they were yelling at me, "Jason, come on, there's a light. We've been through this before. Follow us." And it wasn't until I opened up my ears and asked for help that those people were placed in my life that started to guide me and walk me through the trials that I was going through. Where I was hopeless, I found some hope. Where I hated myself, I found a little bit of love. And my message today is, whatever you're going through in your life, or whatever your loved one might be going through in their life, there's always hope. It's just what's the lesson in it? Through my addiction and through all of my challenges and the adoption, I just feel impressed to share what happened last week. Last week, I was asked to speak at the International Adoption Conference, representing birth fathers all over the world. And I had an opportunity to be a voice for so many birth fathers that don't step up and aren't involved in their child's life. Miracles are happening in my life because I listened to the people that were placed on my path that showed me how to live again. And they brought me to a place where not only do I love my Creator and I seek to do His will, and when I say that, I mean that's seeking in my life, how can I bless the earth? And reading Og Mandino's work has enhanced this new vision of mine, and it's brought me more abundance than I ever imagined. and it's not attached to dollars for me. I have so much peace and happiness today, and I have so much love today, and relationships. You know, my relationships today are far better than they ever have been, or I ever imagined they would be. I'm learning to love myself by honoring my gifts and sharing my experience, like what Dave talked about, all of the trials and challenges I've been through, those long winters on the streets, handing my son over in adoption. You know, that's who I am, and that's what I have to share. I have to share my experience to provide hope, to help inspire others walk through the challenges that you're all going through in your own lives. And most importantly, loving others. You know, I seek to help inspire others, to help them avoid the challenges and the pitfalls that I wallowed in for so many years. I think back, if I would have just, when I was in the middle of all that darkness, if I would have just asked for help, I would have got help. You know, but I chose not to. And I chose to dig that hole deeper and deeper and deeper until my life depended on it. And I just have to honor Kevin and Dave for the influential roles that they've played in my life and have shown me a path that now I know what my purpose is. And I'm just grateful to be a part of this work, and I'm grateful for the abundance and the life that I have today. Thank you very much.
How many months now, Jason? 16 months. Thank you. Little else needs to be said. There are times when our persona is different than our real secret self. Just examine your life tonight. If there's something going on in your secret life, then there's a very good chance it's going to damage your self-esteem because you're just not going to know. Now, this isn't a church meeting, and I love the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous because you realize that your life is out of control. You realize there is a power greater than yourself that can restore you to sanity, and you turn your life and your will over to that power. Bill W. wrote one of the most inspiring lines, I think, in all of literature. God makes little requirements of those who seek Him. And it's your own conception. Intentional creation is not a religion. I have my beliefs. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm proud of them. Not in the false pride sense. Deeply committed. But I know people who believe differently than I, who are amazingly wonderful people, and I'm convinced the day's going to come when we all move on to the next life and we're going to go, oh, now I get it. Whatever that power is, he's not going to change just because we have an idea, right? But he also doesn't require that much of those who will seek him. So if there is a difference, if there is a secret self, something going on, I would encourage you to surrender to a power greater than yourself, your own conception of him, and let that power work in your soul. One of the greatest healing forces comes from the next piece. We got asked a moment ago, how do you heal this? Our objective is not to have low self-esteem. Our objective is to be whole, to be complete, to be real, to be genuine, to be authentic. Because when we are, we're free of all that garbage. and totally available to be of service to others. You watch people who live this way, the Kevin Halls of the world. You watch what they do in a day. It's amazing. Watch. I would aspire to be that way. But first, we'll want to address how to become that. So let me introduce you to the words. Real, to be real, real means to develop relationships. Real means relationships. It means to connect with other people. Genuine comes from the word genus, or genius. It's owning our own gifts. This isn't egotistical. There's a giver who gave them to you. Honor the giver and the gift by fully using them in the service of another person, which we can't do if we're spending our time in self-doubt and misery and discouragement and fear and frustration, right? But if we're whole and complete and real and genuine, we get to bring all that we are to everything. It's joyful. The last is authentic, anthosectic, being your true self. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you know that you can step back from that and there's a moment of truth inside your soul. No matter how dark anything has ever been, at its truest sense, what it means is this. Ready to write this down? It means to act on your own moral authority. Wow. But aren't I supposed to be following somebody else's? It's being in total alignment with true principles. Doing the right thing for the right reason because you want to, and you get to, and you choose to. Not because you have to, and you should, and you must, or fear of failure and punishment, or fear of consequences, because you want to. I want to get out of bed. I want to go on a bike ride in the morning. Isn't that kind of, Ramona's going, oh yeah! Tomorrow morning on the parkway, I'm going to be drafting behind Ramona for 10 miles. And she spends the whole time trying to push me harder because we're going to be doing the bare leg brawl here in how many days? Wow, 25 days? 25 days from now, we're going to swim half a mile, bike 12, and run 3.1. I'm going to walk because it's pretty shallow, half a mile. Then I'm going to draft behind Ramona for 12. Then I'm going to walk for 3.1. But I will get across the finish line. It may be Sunday morning, but I'll finish. It's doing that because you want to. You get to. You choose to. Imagine waking up in the morning with that kind of a feeling. That's what we teach, are the principles for getting in that space. Can you imagine what it would be like to go to work? Instead of drudgery and, anybody ever do that at work? You ever met somebody like that? I work so hard, I work so long, I give so much. Anybody ever done that? Oh no, not me. Imagine feeling so excited and so energized, and you walk in and you spend your day connecting with people, stepping into their world, seeing something that nobody else saw, taking down their walls of resistance, loving them unconditionally, and a few other things. And coming home still energized. Wouldn't that be fun? The tragedy is this. Here's the tragedy. Then I'm going to go into how to deal with it. Everybody on the phone ready for this? We talked about this a few weeks ago in the training. Here's the challenge. You see, that sucks. And I'm going, do I really want to be okay? Because if I'm okay, how are they going to know how much I'm suffering? How are they going to know how hard this is and how painful it is and how much I give and give and give? How are they going to know this if I'm okay? Anybody been there? It is a tough decision. Being authentic, acting on your own moral authority, choosing to do the right thing for the right reason, to let that go. Because here's the secret. That's sucking the life out of us, right? And when it's sucking the life out of us, what do? When we're moping around? We're just sucking it out of everybody else. Now, how many of those people said, man, I enjoyed having that person step into my life today and suck out all my energy? I hope they come back and talk to me again before the day's out. I can't wait to get to the office and talk to Sally. She sucks the energy out of me every morning. It's the most exciting thing I've ever had. Can you imagine? If we knew how people really felt about us when we're in that space, we would never want to go there. We've been thinking for a lifetime there's some what we would call peanut payoffs. We actually are getting some pity. Well, here's the truth. Some of you heard this before. We'd be less concerned about what other people think about us if we knew how little they actually do. That's the truth. They're stuck in their own world with their own stuff. The only thing they want to know is, are you caring about them? And Ryan, when you do, what happens? He said amazing things happen. Because the whole world's living inside their cocoon. Suck, 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 suck. That sucks, and my life's miserable. Wah, wah, wah. And all of a sudden, you care enough to step in their world and really understand where they are. That's the person who wins every time. Every time. Og says this is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Muscle can split a shield and even destroy life. That's muscle that beats people up, and it's also people who suck out people's energy. But only the unseen power of love, agape love, a heightened level of awareness, being able to see the need of another person based on your own life experience, only this will open the hearts of men. And until I master this art, I'm no more than a peddler in the marketplace. I will make this my greatest weapon, and none on whom I call can defend against its force. None. With this, I can melt all hearts, not some hearts, all hearts, like it unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. You want to be successful? It is time to stop dragging a sack. Look at it. If you need therapeutic intervention, and some may, because some of those things in those sacks are really awful. To process through it, you may need that. But the point will come in the therapeutic intervention or coaching where you will finally say, okay, I'm going to engrave it on my heart, and with that experience, I'm going to turn and now focus on others. Is there anyone else who might be feeling this way? And I can promise you, the instant you do that, every day you'll find somebody else who you can serve. Terry, you're one of our coaches. You're nodding your head. One of our most intuitive coaches. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I will serve them. Oh, can you have some amazing experiences in a day? And every time, you get an inspiration. One of the most sacred ones I've ever had. Well, I won't go there. There are times when we literally are involved in life or death with people. We'll get inspired to talk to someone we haven't talked to for a long time. And miracles occur in their lives. And when miracles occur, this is the magic. For those on the phone, you said, how do we heal this? Are you ready? Everybody in the room, are you ready? Because when you get an inspired thought, that's how that power talks to us. Inspired ideas, impressions, solutions to problems. That power has never said to me, David, I want you to go down, turn left, go right. I just get an impression. That's what we get. We get impressions, ideas, solutions to problems. When we act on them and we discover there was substance in the impression, we know that we are known. When we step into someone's world and serve them, their walls come down, and this is a scientific fact. Dr. Hartman measured it. Walls come down, and a latent reserve of cooperation and productivity floods out. We can actually feel it. It's joyful. And there is a divine nature inside of us that wakes up. Our goodness is awakened. We may have been rebelling against it all of our lives, trying to pretend like we don't feel that way. We're tough and we're rough. Just give me a wife beater and a two-day beard and I'll kick the crap out of anybody. That's not really who we are. Every one of us has a tender divine worth inside of us, and it awakens when we listen to that impression and we serve someone and we discover that it was an actual impression from someplace beyond us. That's tender. So one of the primary reasons we serve is because people are in need of our service. But the ancillary benefit is that we heal. Because our divine nature wakes up, we know that we're known. Is this getting kind of cool? All of a sudden we're starting to feel whole and complete. Something's happening inside of us. It never happens from going inside ourselves. You can't peel that onion with enough layers to get to this place. And many people will spend a lifetime trying to get there. I'm telling you right now, the truth is, you get there by turning outward and focusing on serving others, and then there is a partner who participates, because you're now doing what that partner's work is, to bless the lives of other people, and now you're an active partner in blessing their lives. That's the first way we heal. Everybody okay so far? Next way we heal. Oh, this is a good one. We wake up in the morning. I just want you to envision this. There's a freeway in front of us. And we're going down this freeway of life. And over here, there's a borrow pit. Now, if you're on the phone call and you're not in Utah, you might not know what a borrow pit is. You know, that's just where the road drops off, and in our borrow pit, it gets really dark and dismal down there, okay? We're driving along. We kind of see it. We don't want to go there. But all of a sudden, the road starts to tip. And then we hit an ice spot. Whew. Into despair we go. Catastrophizing, worrying, fear. Anybody been there? Getting sucked right into the problem. I haven't got the money to pay my mortgage. Well, instead of doing something about it, we spend all day in fear and anxiety and frustration, and nothing gets done. We get all those chemicals released in our body. And we're paralyzed. Anybody been in one of those virtual road tipping experiences? Every day. Tips the left, right into that place. Fantasy creates it. Catastrophe is the end result. Counterfeit forms of pleasure. Those are destructive ways of thinking. Scary. 3,000 people I measured, 97% of them had thought processes that were very vivid, and 98% of them spent more time in the borrow pit than any other place. 98% in fantasy, escaping to a time when I'm rich and what it'll be like then. Oh, no more pain or fear, as if somehow it's going to magically happen. I call this the fantasy fairy. And there are people that would want you to believe that, and they'll charge you wonderful fees to buy their books and CDs and attend their seminars. But there is a fantasy fairy. All you have to do is visualize with enough intention. And that physical reality, you'll be so rich. Just leave a little money in the basket before you leave, okay? The more you leave, the more likely it's going to happen. You got it? It's a lie. It's a lie. It doesn't work that way. There is a power. It does manifest. But in our mind, it manifests ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. There's a DVD out called The Secret. Some of the people who participated are very angry because they cut out all the really critical pieces. Jack Canfield talks about getting a $1 million idea in the shower. He didn't dry off and it showed up. He did the work of creating it. That power manifests ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. There are 5 ways to do it. We won't cover them all tonight, but mental rehearsal, it's much like a fantasy, except for instead of escaping, I go there for instruction, and I get it. Inspiration, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. And a name comes to your mind and you serve them. Wow, that was a true impression. Exploration, considering ideas before I make a tangible commitment. Anybody here ever remodeled a room? You know what I'm talking about. You envision how the bathroom's working, and in your mind you swing the door and it hits the toilet. Oops, that's not going to work. Need to move the door. Hammer hasn't even been picked up yet, right? Planning and goal setting, where you're so clear in your vision that you understand what Og said, when I keep my eyes on the goal above my head and I ignore the obstacles at my feet, for I know that where dry desert ends, green grass grows. I keep focused while I'm doing on where I'm going. I'm in the process of actually doing. I've seen it. Now I'm creating it. Because the third way that we heal is not just using our mind constructively to get impressions and ideas and solutions to problems. I still remember the day we talked about this, Kevin, and you talk about this. You're talking about the word passion, a willingness to suffer for something we love. There's a physiological reality, and this is how it works. When you get an inspired idea, a real one, if you're wired to a functional MRI, parts of your brain light up that you normally don't use. Very exciting. Your body actually goes, wow. That's called passion. It's a physiological reality. I just got excited about something, and now I'm willing to suffer for that thing, which means I'm willing to do the work. Now, this isn't boring, mundane, repetitious. This is passion-driven action. We know how to ignite your passion. Love to teach you how. Then love you to share it with others and teach them how. So that we can start getting this message out into society so we don't have so many people so discouraged on the verge of suicide because they can't magically manifest tangible reality by thinking. But you can't. You can't get the idea. And when you go into action, that same power that gave you the idea can now put people on your path who will serve you and who you can serve. And when you fully use your genius, you're genuine, you actually become genuine, that power will give you more ability than you currently have. But only until you fully use what you currently have. Everybody got that? So healing self-esteem becomes relatively simple. One, we may need some therapeutic involvement to get through this sack and sort through some of these painful things. And then we get with a coach and we transfer it into our heart. It becomes part of our character. We own it. We stop resisting it, resenting it, being frustrated by it. We're now looking at it as a way to serve other people more effectively, and we turn and we serve. We get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions. We know that we're known. And we get verification on a regular basis. We get inspired ideas and we take action. And we're endowed with more ability and people are put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. I'd like to think in many ways for some of you tonight on the phone and here, we may have been put on your path. What are you doing? How's this working? How long do you want to keep banging against the glass wall? Would you like to know how to get past all of that? We'd love to teach it to you. I've shared with you a few things tonight. Now, I would like to give you a treat for just a moment or two. Kevin called me this afternoon and mentioned he might be able to make it. And I said, Kevin, if you do, would you just share with us a word? And we talked about a word. Could we have a handheld mic for Kevin, please? Kevin is the word master. He's got the word book, Aspire, Finding Your Purpose Through the Power of Words, and now he's working on healing through the power of words. Very exciting. Kevin, share with us the word we talked about.
You know, I will, Dave. Have you heard Dave's voice?
That is the voice of God, is it not? When I call information half the time, they say, hold on, ma'am, and I'll get that number for you. And I don't know if it sounds quite like that, but it's been incredible to sit back here. And by the way, Jason, it was phenomenal. I mean, there are dozens of heads saying it was phenomenal, that message. I want to speak with you anytime, any place. And to hear Dave share his message demonstrates this word. The word is, it's kind of hard to do with a handheld mic, but I'll do it. The word is namaste. Anybody end a yoga class with that word? What does that word mean? Please. I honor the light in you, and you honor the light in me. There's two hands. And they bring their hands together. If you grew up in Nepal, it means I salute the divine within you. I salute your greatness. I salute what you do best. And as small children, they're taught that their right hand represents their creator. Intentional creation, the right hand represents your creator who gave you your gifts. Your left hand, never done this with a handheld mic, your left hand represents you, the human being with the unlimited potential and the gifts. And when you bring those two hands together, you become whole. And then as children, they're taught in Nepal to touch their forehead. They kiss their lips and their fingers. Because what comes out of your mind, the words that come out of your mouth, and then they touch their heart, signifying that before I can salute the divine within you, I need to salute the divine within me. And so the light in me salutes the light in you. I think that's the key that Dave is talking about. You're witnessing his natural gifts. I'm back there just laughing, having fun, feeling that in my heart. That's who he is. When you are who you are meant to be, when you tap into your gifts, when you become whole, real, authentic, genuine, genie in genuine, that genie will grant every worthy wish of your life. Nature works, but nature doesn't work. When you follow your nature, you never work another day of your life. I don't care what my kids do for a living. I don't care. I probably should. I don't care what their grades are. I don't care how much money they make. As long as they make enough to eventually get out of the house, I do care about that. But I really care that they discover that little Sharwan, who I just left, 15 years old, love her. She's a beautiful Indian princess. I care that Sharwan discovers her gifts, her namaste, that my mini-me, Connor, who I'm going to take to Mount Everest in the spring, and we're going to climb that together. I care that Connor is able to discover his gifts. And I know that's what Dave is concerned about. What are your gifts? What is it that you uniquely do best discover that, stop doing what you're good at and start doing what you're great at. And that's the challenge for each of us. Dave is one of the greats in my life. It's an opportunity to be here tonight, Dave, and to witness your gifts and to watch you live your purpose and your mission to heal torn bodies and broken hearts. We're the average of the five people we spend the most time with, Jim Rohn said. Spend a lot of time with this man and with his wife. He overmarried just like I did. You won't go wrong with Dave or Ramona. Show me your friends, one of my dear coaching clients says, and I'll show you your future. Spend time with people who rejoice in your greatness. The word friend, final thought, it comes from the word free. The origin of friend, F-R-I-E-N-D, and you were there, Tiffany, when Arthur shared part of that, and El Tai, you've been there before. The master of words who teaches me the words, he just celebrated his 94th birthday Saturday. He would always say, Kevin, my friend, feel free to come again. And I would sit down, he speaks 13 languages, I'd ask him about all of these words, and I'd say, Arthur, you always say that. He said, oh, have I never taught you what friend means? Friend comes from free, and when you're with a true friend, you're free to be who you are meant to be. And if you're with someone who wants to change you and you're not enough and you've got to do this to be that or here, be accepted, that's not a friend. A friend is someone who allows you to be who you're meant to be. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to a true friend, a dear friend, Dave Blanchard. Thanks, Dave.
Such an honor for you to be with us, Kevin. Thank you. We've spent many a wonderful, tender hours together. Because everybody needs a coach. And where does the coach go? Coach goes to a coach, right? Kevin mentioned something I wasn't going to say, but I'm going to close with this. When you know what it means to have your heart cut out with a dull knife, and mine had to be with a dull knife. I shared this to an intimate group about a week ago. He used to wear a Rolex watch. I used to wear it like this. How you doing? Doing all right? For those of you on the phone, I'm making sure everybody sees it. And I've shared that I often was late for meetings and I would drive back home to get it because I forgot it. And I couldn't show up without it because it was part of who I was. You think that was bad? Wait till I got the Ferrari. And the Mercedes. And the house. And the housekeeper. And the gardener. And the tennis coach. It was a wonderful life. But I remember when there's a power greater than me said, that's enough. And it happened when I was sitting under the porte-cochere, climbing into the back of a Ford automobile, and I remember consciously thinking, how are people going to know that I drive a Mercedes? Pretty funny, isn't it? It is now. It's pretty sick. And I remember when the knife started to go in. And I remember screaming out, you gave Abraham a lamb. I mean, Isaac was spared. What's going on here? Whoa, just a minute. Don't turn it. And then cut it, take out the heart, and a new heart transplant. Kevin mentioned it. In the darkest of the darkest hour, darkest hour, when you load the gun and write the note. And you make the decision, okay, that's not an option. And you say, show me the principles to dig out of this. And I will spend the rest of my life teaching them to other people. I've often said, why me? You see, I didn't finish college. I played football in college. I'm a lifelong student, but I never finished. How could I know anything? Who am I? Then Og reminds me many times, as he speaks to my heart, I didn't either. And then I would say, then why us? And the impression I get is this, because you know you didn't do this. You know where it came from. So you can't take any credit. Og never did, and I never will. Appreciate the comments, Kevin. This isn't about Dave Blanchard. This is about principles. This is about your life and putting them into your life so that you can start to feel free, to be whole and complete and real and genuine and authentic, so you can walk up to anyone and be comfortable, no matter their station in life. King or pauper, it doesn't matter. To be able to connect and care and create, to not be in discouragement and fear and frustration, trying to impress and pretend, but to be real. It's the hardest task in our mortal existence. Dr. Hartman, who did the math on our assessment, said, and the highest level of maturity. So we're inviting you to become mature. I used to think maturity had something to do with age. The older I get, the more I realize that's just not true. I can act like a fifth grader. You can ask Ramona. Maturity comes when we have the awareness to show up real and genuine and authentic, blessing the lives of other people. That's when we're at our highest level of maturity. We want to invite you to participate in that. I'm going to say just a couple things and turn this back. I want to introduce you to one person, if I may. And Glenn, you want to get a microphone really quickly, if you could. Get a microphone to Glenn. When Justin and Chad came to me and said, I got an idea. You already have the software for it. It's called an affiliate program. How could someone affiliate themselves with Og Mandino, share a principle, and get paid a handsome commission, and not have it be direct sales or network marketing or competing with any company like that? That was created. The very first person who said, I want to be one, was Gwen. Now, I asked her to be prepared for me to invite her to come up here for a minute tonight, because the other night, I'm sitting in my office, and yes, we stay up, don't we? Crazy hours. I get an email, at 11:28 at night. Been talking to a real estate firm. They've got seven realtors and a broker. They just got done reading The Greatest Salesman in the World. Isn't that cool? People actually do this. And they're excited about Og Mandino, and they want to talk about putting the program in their real estate office. This is an affiliate working. You've got some ideas. 11:30, another email. 11:32, another email. 11:34, a fourth email. Am I going, go to sleep? Heck no, I'm going, is there another one? Because she's on fire. She gets the vision of taking these principles into people's lives, and she's going to generate a handsome income doing so. Because she's not only going to be an affiliate, she's posturing herself within moments to be what's called a master affiliate, so she has affiliates working for her. Isn't that kind of cool? I just wanted Gwen to this chair for a moment. Why she made this decision, and what's driving her? Would you do that for us?
Well, can you all hear me? Great. Well, to tell you what made my husband and I, who he's currently working tonight with a cabinet install catastrophe, which is what our life has been for the last couple of years. He's not able to make it, but I want to let you know where we've been to get me to the decision to want to include these principles in our life. about 6 years ago, my W-2 was $126,000 and my husband's was $78,000. We had one child. I had a Land Rover, which my daughter calls a van, and my husband had a Volvo, and we were doing great. We had no debt, but we started reading books about being your own business person, and we decided that my husband, who was always wondering if he was going to be laid off or fired or whatever, and me, who, whenever my daughter was sick, I'd call my boss and say, hey, I'm staying home with my daughter. She was up throwing up all night, and his answer was, are you sure she's sick enough to not be able to go to daycare? I really need you today. And it made me feel guilty for wanting to be a mom. And so we started deciding we needed to make a change in our life. So we walked away from all that money and decided to be our own small business owner. Now, you can all groan out loud right now because we did not read the correct quadrant of the cash flow quadrant of Robert Kiyosaki's book. We decided to be a small business owner. And at any given time, we've had between 6 and 27 employees, which you'd think that would be great until you realize as a small business owner, you're the last person to take home a paycheck. And so really our life has been living on barely anything. And it's been a really large eye-opener for us because I realized where I've been in the last 4 years since being shown this opportunity is that my life has been driven by how are we going to pay that mortgage? How am I going to pay that utility bill with the red notice that just came on my door? And my life has been consumed by money in a negative way. And I realized that as my life has been going, I've gotten involved in multi-level marketing, and boy, I could get you to get your wrinkles away, and I sure could help you lose some weight. But really, that was not my passion. It was just kind of a means to an end. And I realized how many hours had been taken away from my family by me watching my children play and me being completely absent because all I could think about was that red notice on my door or how we were going to come up with a mortgage in another week. And so I guess my question to you is how many of you in this room or even on the phone, you know, raise your hand on the phone, have been in that situation financially where money is consuming you in the last 6 months or a year? I just like to see a raise of hands that have been in the same place. Okay, so I don't think that I'm alone, and I know a lot of my friends have felt that way as well. Well, I have to laugh because, of course, deciding we were going to be business owners, I have Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki, Zig Ziglar, all on my shelf. I'm sure a lot of you do as well, and they're great trainings. But when my life has been so consumed by needing to make a change, I haven't been able to even open those books. And I'm sure a lot of you have those sitting on your shelves or CDs that are collecting dust. And when they presented this opportunity to me to be able to take these courses on a weekly basis where I get homework to be able to take into my daily life and ask my husband, how is it for you to be in a relationship with me who believes that I'm always right about everything and I'm not allowed to respond? Let me tell you, my world has changed in 1 hour listening to these principles. And so I've just been really excited by the fact that I have the ability to change my world. And as Robert Kiyosaki said, become bigger than my situation and love what life is again. And I realized that part of serving others is about having service opportunities. And when they came to me with this opportunity of taking these courses, the first thing that came to my mind is, great if I'm bettering myself and assisting others to better themselves, but if there's no action behind it and serving others, then what good is it that you're becoming a better person? Your ceiling fan's getting to see this phenomenal person, and so is your sliding glass door, but the world around you is not getting to see this amazing person who is growing. So I said to them, I would really like to be part of this organization, but I really feel that we need to have opportunities to serve other people. So they've been gracious enough to let me throw some opportunities for anybody involved. Once a month, we're going to be doing service opportunities to serve other people in the community. And it's amazing when you open your eyes to how many needs are out there. The gates are flooding with organizations that just need a hand in serving. And so this August 21st on Saturday at noon, whoever would like to come join us is going to be coming and giving time to the food bank to deliver service or senior food boxes to seniors in the Salt Lake area that cannot make it to the food bank to get their food. So I'd like to extend a hand to all of you guys to come and join us at the food bank at noon on the 21st. And then Dave is graciously enough allowed us to have a barbecue after the fact. So, you know, if you guys need to get a hold of me or have any questions, you know, email Dave and he can get you my contact information. But I would just love to have you guys come serve the community and, of course, have you be part of these conference calls that are really changing my life. So, thanks.
Thank you. By the way, Ramona, we have a barbecue at the house on the 21st. Yeah, she says. Now, some of you on the phone are in different areas of the country. We're envisioning as this OG Army goes out to change the world that these kinds of activities will be taking place all over the country. Our purpose is to change lives. Are you okay when you share that you might make a little money as an affiliate? You're okay with that. Might be something you want to take a look at. Well, I want to thank you for joining this coaching session. This is not to sell you on becoming an affiliate. It's for you to experience the principles. I've asked Justin and Chad to spend just a moment talking about the affiliate program. For those who would like to stay tuned to do so, those on the phone and those who are present, Chad and Justin, would you come up just for a moment? I just want to thank all of you for taking the time tonight. And my prayer is that it was worth your time. Take these principles home, the ones we've shared tonight. Heal your self-esteem. Feel what it feels like to be whole and complete. Real and genuine and authentic, without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed or fear. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Did you guys find any value in this evening? I think so. I mean, this is what we were attempting to kind of share with you as we started off, that when you're applying principles like this and you can be a part of a group, see, the reason why we succeeded at the level that we did is that there was a cause behind what we were doing in our last company. And the reason why I resigned from that company is because I felt like the cause had gone away. And I want to be a part of something. And when Justin and I sat down and talked about it, we said, what was the best part of the last 10 years? It was the service. It was the production. It was the growth of other people. It wasn't the money. It wasn't the H2 Hummer. It wasn't the millions in real estate. It was the relationships that we had developed with other people and the change that we were able to see, not only within ourselves, but within other people. And when you can have an award ceremony like I had every 3 months and watch hundreds of people come across stage and their life had been improved, but do you know what it was? It was improved by money. What we're doing with the OG Group here is that we want to improve your life so that you can be in a safe place so you can take the time to go assist others. How many of you would like to do something great for someone else, but you're having a hard time doing something great for yourself? Okay, it's okay to admit that. Every time I would get on an airplane to fly to another city, they tell you, and you guys have probably heard this before, if we lose cabin pressure, what do? You put your oxygen mask on first, you take care of yourself, so then you can assist the person next to you. If I try to go assist the person next to me and I'm not financially whole or I'm not emotionally whole, I can't do as an effective job at it as if I was there, present. And what happened with me over the last 10 years, and I'm ashamed to admit this, I lost the principles. And it did become all about the money. I remember Dave would stand up in front of the room and talk about his Rolex and how he didn't want to be his Rolex. I'm like, I'm not my Rolex. But I was my H2 Hummer. I kept saying, oh, well, Dave doesn't understand, I'm not that way. And I would justify all this stuff, and when I sat back and really looked at who's Chad Wade, I didn't like what I saw. And I started to make the proper changes so that I could live those principles, and right now, I can tell you right now, that if I live in a cardboard box or I live in an $8 million home, I'm happiest when I live the principles. I'm happiest when I'm stepping into other people's worlds and assisting them to see their greater good. And when I go back over the last 10 years, it was those moments, not the walking into the dealership and paying cash for an H2 Hummer, not being able to go and sit at somewhere else and count your money. Sometimes in life, we have to take that time to invest in ourselves. And when we started this off, I told you guys that I had taken the last money that I had, sold that stock, so that I could become an Augmandino facilitator and trainer. I had the principles. I had no money. I had no success to back me up. I was this guy that just had this big dream of doing something great, and we went out and did it. But the second we quit living the principles, the second we became bigger than we really were, that's when everything started to go the other direction. And my passion in life is to, number one, be congruent myself. And number two, show other people their true value. And that's what this group does. I think you can feel that tonight, can't you? Can you see the value of hanging out with someone like Dave Blanchard in this group and moving forward in your life? See, because again, the money becomes a byproduct of your service. We have a home study course. This affiliate program that we have, we sat down with Dave and we literally talked very intensely about creating this as a multi-level, creating this as a direct selling program with a two-up and you got to pass up sales. And this is our world. Since 1994, I've been in direct sales and network marketing. And I love the concept, but what I didn't love is 5 years into a deal, a lot of times, you know, how many of you have been a part of a deal before and you were excited? Be honest. And then you weren't later and you're actually kind of ashamed that you were actually a part of whatever it was. Okay? And you swore you're never going to do it again. And then your brother tells you about this new cutting-edge thing that's coming out. Next thing you know, you're sucked into another deal. Anybody do that? Well, I did it 7 times before I actually started to become successful. And the whole purpose of the Augmandino group is not to make you a bunch of money. But money is what pays your bills. How many of you could use an extra $300 to pay a bill? An extra $1,000? An extra $10,000? You know? And sometimes we sit in a room like this and going, man, an extra $20 would just be nice. I don't know what he's talking about, $10,000. But what happens is that money becomes a byproduct of your service. And if you could be compensated for assisting others, is that okay? I felt some hesitation. Is it okay for you to be compensated if the value you bring is greater than the cost to be involved? Absolutely. There's no cost to be an affiliate, but what Dave's asked us to do is that if you are going to become an affiliate, you should really own the product. You can't sell from an empty wagon unless you're selling wagons. And when you're looking at a scenario like this, we ask you, if you want to be a part of this group, you could buy Augmandino's book, you could take the CDs and listen to them at home and apply those principles, but if you really want to get down and say, well, I'm right here and I want to be over here, you're going to need to be held accountable. You're going to want to be a part of other people. I mean, if you do an exercise right now, do it tonight. Go write down on a piece of paper the 5 people you hang out with most. And start right now. If you know someone's name, who do you spend the most time with? Go find out how much they make in a year's time. Add it up, divide it by 5, and you're within $1,000 to $5,000 a year of those people. So if you want to be more wealthy, if you want to have a better relationship, if you want to be more congruent, who should you surround yourself with? Those types of people, because automatically you become successful because you're living those principles. Just like if you're hanging out with a drug addict, you're going to probably become a drug addict. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there kind of is. Okay? So the whole point of what I'm trying to get is that this whole concept of what we're putting together is Justin and I are bringing to the table the years of experience on how to build a sales team, how to go out and build that process. How would you like to actually build income, not only for yourself, but others? See, because my passion, again, I know I can make money, and I know I will make money, and that's not an egotistical statement. It's just when you know how to do something, it's like riding a bike, you're always going to be able to ride a bike. But if I could take a single mother and actually make it so that they don't have to work, or bring a mother home, or bring a husband home from his second job, and there can be more congruency in the family, and we can actually do what we're supposed to do in life, does that have value? To me, it does. And I love what we're doing here. And bottom line is, I invite you to come out to the tables out here. And if you're ready to take on your life, our home study course is $1,695. I'll let Justin go through the actual what it brings to you and all the components of everything that's here, and I'll let him kind of share his thoughts. But if you're sitting in this room right now and you're saying, I can't afford $1,695, I'm going to invite you to actually say, how can I afford it? Just like I couldn't afford to hire Dave as a coach to become a facilitator. But I figured it out anyways. And what can happen in your life, are you worth $16.95 to get more congruent? Are you worth $16.95 to go out there and have a process that might bring an extra $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000 a year of income to your family? I look at this as I have to pinch myself every day. But because of Augmentino, because of the Aug Group, because of what's being put together here, I feel like I got my passion back. Because my rule of thumb in what I do in business is if I can't sell it to my grandma, it's time to end it. And I feel so congruent getting people involved in this program and seeing them take on their lives and see how what a major change is going to be. And Dave didn't even get into the relationship courses that they have, the marriage courses, the individual coaching. There's so many different components. And if you become an affiliate, the only requirement is to own the home study course. We have many different products that you don't have to qualify for. You don't even have to purchase them yourself. But if you influence people to come and take a look at this information and they buy, it's going to be money that hits your bank account. So I'll let Justin explain to you a little bit about the home study course, and then we'll let you guys go tonight. We'll stick around and answer your questions for you. But understand this. My goal every single day is to take on my own life and assist others to do the same. Because that's, I feel like that's why we're here. We're here to grow, we're here to learn, and we're here to share wisdom with other people so that they don't make the same mistakes that maybe we've made. So, Justin, if you want to go through that.
Thank you, Chad. And I want to kind of make something very clear, too. Is like I know there's lots of you in the room who have an opportunity you're working on, and you've got a company that you're aligned with. You got, you know, things you do, jobs you have. Dave?
Sure, that we've got a lot of people listening on the telephone. And they're going to start to feel maybe a little isolated because we're talking to everyone in the room. If there's anyone on the telephone and they're interested in what we're talking about, becoming an Augmentino affiliate, just call the office tomorrow at 800-701-2394. 800-701-2394. And back to you, Justin. Thank you.
Cool. Well, let me kind of just put this out really clear for you real quick. Now, let me ask you this. If you have a Ferrari, which most people probably think your job or your career or your company, it's a great opportunity for yourself. But the engine's missing. Are you going to get very far? No. Okay, so that's the first question. Second question is, do you know a lot of people out there, whether they're in your organizations, whether they're in your groups, your friends, your family, who have these great lives that look like a Ferrari but are missing an engine? You guys know what I mean by that? Meaning they're, the way they think, the way they process is not allowing them to take advantage of what they're participating in because their thought process is not there. This is where Chad and I, when we looked at the Augmentino principle in the company we were with, that's saying too many names, that's what we found. Because we'd find people all the time who saw this great opportunity but didn't have the capacity to be able to even perform in that opportunity because of their own background. So what we're offering here tonight is not only for an opportunity for you to improve yourself. How many of you guys like, without raising a hand, how many of you like to coach with Dave for an entire year? Every Tuesday night you get Dave coaching you and challenging you and giving you goals and giving you ambitions. But if you come across someone or an organization or a car dealership or a corporate a company that has lots of salespeople or a customer service department, that if you introduce them to the Aug principles and the Augmentino organization, we're going to pay you a handsome affiliate commission. I'm not asking you to replace your opportunity or replace whatever you're doing for a living. I mean, if you want to make this a full-time career, great, so be it. But if you want to make it just a way for you to be able to have one more little feather in your cap, one more tool in your tool belt, this is what we're offering here. But like Chad said, the only requirement is of the coaching. So it's coaching with Dave for an entire year. You get all the Augmentino principles online. You can take as many assessments as you want. You can actually compare your assessments every couple months to see how your progress is going forward. You also get all of Dave's audio series that he's created called the Six Qualities of an Intentional Creator. Hours and hours and hours of content of Dave teaching you how to build your self-esteem, build relationships, and use those principles for good. We've got marriage retreats. We have personal coaching. We have coaching with Dave. We have a corporate product. And just because you own the home study course, you have the ability to market any of that to anybody in the whole entire world. Isn't that cool? And that's why we chose to set up as an affiliate account or affiliate program versus setting up as an MLM or a direct sales company. Chad and I had an opportunity, like Chad mentioned, we met with a guy today that has hundreds of thousands of people in his group, in his organization, that he has influence over. Yes, we're going to take it to millions of people. we could work that account alone, and we'd be busy probably for the next 4 or 5 years. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to stick around for as long as you want us to. For those of you who choose to buy the home study course tonight, I highly encourage you to do so. It'll be the best investment in yourself, and if at some point in the future you want to become an affiliate, great. But I want to encourage every single one of you to at least get the home study course tonight. Or for those of you on the phone call tonight, tomorrow, get back to the person that invited you on the phone call. Ask your questions. Ask them about the affiliate program. This is not a high-pressure sales group. Either you like to do it or you don't. Either you want to be, you know, improve yourself or you don't. It's that simple. So I want to end with a quick story, if you don't mind me telling this quick story. And it's a story I like to tell because I think all of us have an ambition to be successful. Would that be true? And it's a story of a little boy who was walking through a town, and he was asking everybody in the town, you know, what's the secret of success? What's the secret of success? And no one in the town really understood what the secret of success was. The little boy kept asking, and finally came across the lady, and she said, what's the secret of success? And she goes, I don't know. But the man up on the hill, that old man up there, well, he knows. So the little boy races to the top of the hill. He gets up there, and he talks to the old man and asks him, what's the secret of success? And the old man says this, go down by the river, and I'll be down there in just a moment. So the little boy races down by the river, and the old man comes down real slow, gets down, the little boy all excited says, what's the secret of success? What's the secret of success? And the old man says this, stick your head in the river. Stick my head in the river? What are you talking about? Do you want to know the secret of success? Stick your head in the river. The little boy hesitantly sticks his head down in the river. The old man, when he gets close, grabs the back of his neck and holds him down, puts his head in the water. 15 seconds goes by, 30 seconds goes by, 45, a minute and a half goes by, the little boy is kicking and, not quite screaming, but kicking. Finally, the old man lets go, lets the little boy up. And the little boy's freaking out going, what are you doing? What are you doing? I want to know the secret of success. What was that all about? And the old man in his wisdom says this. He says, the moment that you desire success, as much as you desire that last breath of air, will it be the moment you found the secret of success. Tonight is the beginning. We're looking for people who are ready to take on their life like that little boy, ready to go. Because without your contribution, without you wanting it bad, and I'm not talking about just financial success. I'm talking about better relationships, enjoying your career more, your job, your life, your kids, your parents, every relationship you can think of, each day being happier. That's what we're doing here. And that's why Chad and I are so passionate about what we're doing. So we'll stick around as long as we need to, but for those of you on the phone call, get back to the person that invited you to this call. We'd love to take care of you, help you out, assist you in however we may be able to serve you. And for those of you here live, we thank you for attending and create a wonderful day. And we'll have some tables out here that have some internet connections if you want to go ahead and get your home study course ordered. So thank you very much.